Choir, it's Kathleen here, and welcome to The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Let me encourage you to not just listen, but partner with God and practice what He speaks to you. You can access more information about me, my newspaper articles, upcoming events, contact me, or purchase my book, Thriving Through Seasons of Grief, on my website at www.kathleenmaxwellramby.com. This podcast is now in 28 countries, and people have donated so that you can listen free. Will you consider paying it forward for someone else by giving a one-time or monthly gift? Simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage at the top of the podcast. And don't forget to click the like or follow, and you'll be the first to know when new episodes are released. Enjoy the podcast.
Lord, thank you so much that, God, you created marriage. You know all about it. And Father, I just thank you of the beauty of putting us together and giving us, Lord, just a spouse that we can walk alongside and help. And so, Father, I just ask that you help us as mothers, Lord, to mothers and wives, Lord, to just learn about you. And I ask that you just pour your blessings on each one represented here. And Father, let us hear your voice. Father, as I speak, just let me give examples, Lord, that will help this group of ladies relate and know you more. Thank you that you want to be a part of our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, as we were introducing ourselves, that I was married for 30 years. I married my high school sweetheart, and we were married 30 years, and then he had a rare cancer and was gone, and I was widowed 3 years. So I'm speaking to you as from that perspective, but also as somebody that's remarried and been married 9.5 years, speaking to you as a mother. I have 3 children that are all grown-ups now and 8 grandchildren. And so I'm speaking to you from that perspective as somebody that's worked with kids a number of years. I coached gymnastics for 27 years and then was an educator for 7. I've been a social worker and writer, and my late husband and I led marriage classes. So I'm excited to talk about the topic of marriage. And so I've titled it All Things Marriage, because we're going to talk in this time. And I just want to share with you some of the things I've learned that have helped keep me grounded. And my late husband and I went through just a really tough time. And in that was when we really dove in and began to deal with some things in our own lives. But I really learned what marriage was. I love empowering women. And it's interesting that when you get married, it's like nobody hands you a manual for this man. You know, how to figure him out, how to live with him, how to, you know, understand the way he thinks. I mean, sometimes they just think different. I mean, sometimes, a lot of times. But none of us are perfect. And, you know, what happens, or what I found in marriage, is when I got married, I just couldn't wait to be married. I couldn't wait to be Mrs. Joe Maxwell. I thought, I'm going to be somebody. And it wasn't too long into our marriage that I was like, oh, wait a minute, Prince Charming isn't quite what I thought he was, you know, when you get into the nitty-gritty of life. And, you know, investing, what we're going to talk about is investing in your marriage, because I want to say up front, it's worth it. And, you know, when we invest in our marriage, it's something that's going to help us for the long haul. One of the things, and I'm in my 60s, but it's real important now. We started when we were younger investing. We had this little pot of money. We didn't have much money at all. I mean, it was, you know, when we were raising kids, first married and raising kids, but we put a little bit away. And it's amazing how that little bit has grown. And the goal is to sustain us as we get older and can't work, as we retire. We're not quite there yet. My husband still works. But it's when you invest, and you invest in the right way, you'll get a good return and you'll reap many benefits. And that's the one thing I want to tell you is marriage is work. in case you haven't figured that out yet, you'll discover that someday. But it is work, and it takes working on it. It takes investing, I believe, every day. But here's one of the reasons that it's real important. Your family, and this is worth writing down, your family is going to be as strong as your marriage. Your family is going to be as strong as your marriage is. And one of the best things you can do for your kids is invest in your marriage. Because children are the broken pieces when a home falls apart. And I can tell you that just from a number of women that I've worked with throughout my years of ministry, is children are the broken pieces. And so our marriages are worth it. And, you know, my late husband and I, we'd been married, I don't know, about 12 years, somewhere in there. But our marriage really got rocky, and it really got tough. And I remember being pregnant with my youngest of my three kids. And I remember walking down the street, and I just said, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, here we are. There's so much strife in our home, and there was tension. And I could see it wearing on my older kids. My oldest at that time was 9, and here I was pregnant, and we had Price. And I remember one night walking up on a hill and thinking, okay, I've got three kids. I'm not sure I want to stay in this marriage. And Lord, I need you to show me. And one of the things God showed me was he said, you can choose to walk away, but you're going to have to trust me as a single mom with three kids. He said, or you can stay in this marriage and trust me to heal it. And I'm happy to tell you that's what God did. It was a lot of work, a lot of undoing of things, but the last 15 years we were married were just sweet treasures, and God totally restored our relationship from something that was very badly broken. And so, you know, why should we invest in marriage, and what does it mean? Well, you know, one of the things that I want you to understand is it's God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. It was his idea from the very beginning. And it was his, since it was his idea, he's going to help you. So you're not in this alone. God knew it was going to be good. And one of the things he did in the Garden of Eden, when if you go back and read in Genesis 2, when he created the earth, and then he created Adam, and then he looked around, and it says in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord says, it is not good for man to live alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And so God made Eve. And that's where we come in. God knew our men were going to need our help. He knew that. And he knew that we would have what it takes to complete them. And so the first thing I think that was really encouraging for me was to understand that covenant, God instituted a covenant. And there's a difference in a covenant and a contract. But he instituted that covenant for protection. And it says in Genesis 2:24, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they become one flesh. And so marriage is unlike any other relationship in your life. And you know, the beauty is God is going to show us he's on our side. And I can't tell you how many times I have just said that prayer of, dear Jesus, help me understand this guy. You know, help me understand him. You know, I mean, in my first relationship, in the one I'm in right now, okay, Lord, help me to see things. Because here's what happened. Being married 30 years, one of the things the Lord showed me when I remarried was he said, you can't put the same grid. Stephen's a totally different man. And that was right. They're different in personalities. They're different in their occupations. You know, one of the things, my late husband was an investment banker. He wore a suit and tie. You know, we had a real regimented schedule, pretty much 8 to 5 and that kind of thing. And then when I married Stephen, he's a self-made man. He has a couple of businesses. He's never out of his blue jeans, you know, and cowboy hat. And so totally different. And we came in, and so it's like, and I knew it was going to be a building. But the neat thing was I didn't have to make some of the mistakes that I made as a young bride. Matthew 19:6. This is a scripture, and as you take home, as you're taking notes, but in these scriptures should are written down on your paper. But I encourage you to go and read these scriptures when you get a chance. And it says in Matthew 19:6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And I love that scripture because it's real clear when God joins you together as man and wife and you have those covenant blessings, it's not for us to undo. And I had a babysitter that kept my kids for, she was a young girl and she kind of, you know, was at our house all the time because of things that were going on in her home. And when she got married, one of the things I told her, because we talked about an awful lot of things, but one of the things that I told her was I said, I heard those vows. And I said, you, because I was kind of like a mom to her, and I said, on the tough days, I am going to so encourage you to stick it out and to stay in this because it's worth it. I said, and I heard the vows that you made and the promises that you made. And so it was kind of an ongoing joke. And, you know, as they got married and ended up having 3 kids. And, you know, of course, all sorts of things begin to happen. And, but I would remind her, and it's not for any of us to separate what God has joined together. You know, a contract, the difference in a covenant and a contract. We have contracts a lot in our world. We got someone that is a realtor here in the group, and when somebody wants to buy a house, there is a contract. And in that contract, it says, I'll do this as long as you do that. If you don't do this, I'm not going to do that. But in marriage, that and in a covenant relationship, it's totally different. And we could do a whole study on covenant. But in our covenant, our marriage covenant, I know in the vows that Stephen and I made, there were promises. And those promises are made of, this is what I want to be for you. This is what I want to do for you. And then our marriage vows, it said, until death do us part. And I've had a number of widows, you know, that lost their husband and then didn't, you know, haven't remarried. And it's interesting, but one lady I was talking to, and she said, I just don't know how you could remarry, you know. Didn't you love your first husband? I said, absolutely. I said, we really did have a good relationship. I said, but our marriage vows were until death do us part. And he's gone, and he's not coming back. And so in covenant relationship, if you study covenant in the Bible, covenant oftentimes is, you know, there are some really, really good, you can look that word up if you want. But it says in Ecclesiastes, when we make a vow, and in how many of you in your wedding, there were vows you made to one another. They're promises. A vow is a promise. There were promises there. And it says in Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better to not make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. So right there, God is showing us that he takes our vows seriously, but he also partners with us. And in the laws of our land, you have to have a marriage license. I actually performed my first wedding in November of this year. And one of the things when I met with the young couple that I wanted to make sure that they understood was what they were getting into, and that this was a lifelong commitment. And I told them, I said, you know, and I worked with them on their vows, and I said, right now I want you, as I sat down with them, I said, well, I want you to scratch out anything you're not willing to pledge to, you know, your husband or wife now, because this is a serious thing. It's not about me, it's about you all, because you're the ones that are going to have to walk it out. But it says in Isaiah, and God, as a covenant keeper, as a covenant-keeping God, and his promises to us, and the Bible is full of promises. One of the things it says in Isaiah 54:10 in the NIV, it says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And right there, God shows us how our love should be for our mate. And our promises, and in the covenant that we make, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed. How many of you can say our marriage sometimes, I mean, it's been shaken, you know. Some days are just tough. We can go through financial hardship. We can go through, you know, just conflict within families. And that's another thing. When you marry someone, you kind of get married to their family too, don't you? I mean, that's kind of the package. And sometimes that can be a little challenging. But it says, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. And that is, I think, just a standard for us, that choosing to love sometimes when love is hard, choosing to be there sometimes when we just don't feel like it. How many of you can say, I wasn't feeling the love the other day, you know, for this guy, because we had some conflict. And I just love this scripture because it's such an example of how I think God wants us to love our spouse. And, you know, in the covenant promises and relationship, I know we promised in our vows to love, to honor, and to cherish. And again, until death do us part. But good marriages don't just happen. And this is one of your things to write down. Good marriages don't just happen, they take work. And my mom told me years ago, she said, Kathleen, if you're not working on your marriage, you're working against it. And I remember when she said that, my eyes got real big, because I was actually whining to her about my husband, and she just kind of turned and looked to me, and I thought, oh, well, she's going to, you know, I'd heard she and Dad fight before, you know, and I thought, well, she's going to side with me for sure. And she just looked at me, and she said, if you're not working on your marriage, you're working against it, and it's going to be in your best interest to forgive that man and go on with your life. And so I want to give you that. If you're not working on it, your marriage, you're working against it. And I want to challenge you to be intentional about looking for ways to work on it. And that's going to look different for all of you, because you're married to different guys. You've got different, you know, dynamics in your relationship and personalities. But I want you to go to God and say, okay, Lord, how can I work on my marriage? How can I work on it? What are some ways I can invest? We're going back to that word we originally talked about. How can I invest in my marriage? And I firmly believe God's going to show you. But ask him, how can I love this man more? How can I understand him more? Lord, give me your eyes for my husband. And that's been a great tool in times of conflict when I'm, you know, as I call it, spit-hopping mad. I'm so, you know, irritated. But when I go to the Lord and say, give me your eyes for this man, give me your compassion, just like we read in Isaiah, give me your compassion for him. You know, because sometimes our husbands have stuff happen at work, and guess what? They come home to us and they take it out on us. And we're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did I do? You know, I've been slaving away making your dinner and taking care of your kids. And, you know, and you're taking it. Woo, time out. But that's, I think, what happens is when you live with somebody, you really get to learn. You know, learn about him. And I know I had a roommate in college, and you know, I knew her, I'd known her for a long time, but then when we lived together, you know, I learned a little bit more. And and that's what happens, I think, so many times in marriage. I think I've told a couple of you this, but when Stephen and I got married, we hadn't been married very long, and I was unloading the dishwasher one day, and he said, he came in, he goes, that's not how you unload a dishwasher. And I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, what? And he said, that's not how you unload it. You always unload it from the bottom to the top. And I looked at him and I said, cowboy, no, I've raised a family. I was married, you know, for 30 years with three kids. And I said, I've always unloaded the dishwasher from the top down. You know, you start at the top and you push the drawer in and everything. He goes, no, that's not how you do it. And so many times, I laugh now. I was like, you got to be kidding me. He's trying to tell me how to unload a dishwasher. Okay. You know, but there are those things and those conflicts. And so when you live with someone, you know, you can kind of learn, and men can kind of, they can have their own idea. And that's where we as wives, it's understanding them. And as a wife, and we're going to talk more about this in the future, but, you know, it's our job to submit our ideas to our husbands. Now, you know, I think in the Bible is clear, we're not going to go over all those scriptures today, about how the husband is the head of the wife. And it says, wives, submit. Now, that doesn't mean we are doormats. That doesn't mean, that's not what that scripture means at all. And one of the ways it was explained to me by a lady who was a mentor and taught me about marriage years ago is she said, it's submitting your ideas to him. But there are some times in marriage when push comes to shove and a decision has to be made. And I have seen, I have not always agreed with decisions my husband has made, haven't agreed. And sometimes that's cost us dearly. Now, but it is my job to submit my ideas to him. And that's where I think it is really going to the Lord and saying, how can I package this? Because here's one of the things I've discovered with guys is if it's your idea, it's a good one. So how can we appeal and submit our ideas to our husbands? Because you are of value. Remember, we read the scripture that God said it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he created it to help me. And so your husband needs your wisdom. He needs your insight. But I can tell you there are going to be times when somebody has to make a decision. And that's where we don't necessarily have to agree, but we are still called to come along and walk with them and support them. And I'll tell you one of my favorite prayers, just in times of, in marriage, in times when I haven't agreed with my husband, is, Lord, change my heart or his. Change my heart or his. And that puts you in a win-win situation. And there have been some times that my heart needed to change. And there have been some times that his did. And I will tell you right now, God is much better at changing your husband's heart than you are. Okay? Doesn't mean we sit back, we be silent, and we let him jump off of a cliff. But when there are times of conflict, go to the Lord and just say, okay, Lord, we're not seeing eye to eye on this, whether it's discipline. I know that was something my late husband and I, we just saw things differently. And sometimes I felt like he was way too hard on the kids. And here my job was working with kids, you know, and I went to classes on that and learned and grew in all that. And so, you know, I really thought I knew better. But I would just, Lord, change my heart or his, you know, in how we handle this and how we raise our kids and what this looks like. And I have seen God do that over and over again in times of conflict when we don't see eye to eye. And I've had to bite my tongue, you know. And that is one thing I think that's real important when you have kids, is not disagreeing in front of your kids when you don't agree with your husband. Wait till you get behind closed doors, because your kids are smart and they will pit you against one another. I raised three of them, and it's kind of the divide and conquer, you know. And so you're going to have more peace in your home if, when you don't agree, ask God to change your heart or his in those instances and all. So, you know, the best thing, and I said this, is the best thing you can do for your kids is to invest in your marriage relationship and make your unit of the two of you a strong one flesh. The Bible says when God joins a man and a woman together, that he makes them one flesh. And we can understand that in the sexual part of marriage, but God wants that in every part of our life. And your kids will try to divide and conquer. And so that is very important, that you let your kids know that it's about you and Dad, and they're along. One of my oldest son, who is 41 now, that makes me feel old. I was 21 when I had him. But at his father's funeral, he said he gave us one of the best compliments. He said, I'm going to speak on behalf of the three kids in our family. And he said, one of the things about my mom and dad is it was always about them. And Price and Mallory and I always knew we were just along for the ride. He said, my parents modeled how to have a good relationship and how to invest in your marriage. And one of the things we would do, and we lived, you know, just paycheck to paycheck most of the time when we were raising three kids, but we would take a little bit of time, sometime each month. Sometimes we had to save up a little bit more, but to have time for just the two of us. And you need time, just the two of you. It doesn't have to cost money. I remember one time we just really didn't have, you know, much. And I remember we just packed a picnic and we did get a babysitter. But we just went to the park. You know, we went to the park, spread out a blanket, and we had time to just look at each other eye to eye. I've seen so many people pour all their energy into their kids, and they don't invest in their marriage. And so if you've done that, it's okay. Just realize that and repent and go forward. But it is so vital that you invest in your marriage and you spend some time together, just the two of you. Now, you know, you need that time to just look at each other and say, okay, now why did we get married? Okay, now where are we on this? You need to have some uninterrupted time. And I can tell you, even as somebody that's 62 and married, and Stephen and I have five kids between us and eight grandkids, and all of those grandkids have been born in the first 8 years we were married. So we were kind of had life on steroids. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, each other's family dynamics. You know, I'm trying to figure out how do you be a stepmom? You know, it was never part of what I had thought, but here we are. And we still, at this time in our life, in fact, we were having a conversation as we're looking just at the summer and our schedules and everything. And I said, you know, I know we're going to go see, we've got kids that live out of state. And then we got kids that live out of town. And so, you know, trying to coordinate all that and just the things that we enjoy doing, I said, okay, now we need to make sure that we have some time for just us. Because at our stage of life, you know, we'll frequently go on trips with friends because we're all kid-free, you know, and we can. And when we have, you know, a little bit more time. But even as you get older, it's important. And I have to really, really watch that sometimes that we don't get so busy that we don't invest in each other and just have those times together, just the two of us. And so even as a young mom, though, sometimes we could afford and have dinner out. I mean, by the time you pay a babysitter and then you do dinner or whatever, that's hard. But we would even try every 6 months, you know, because that's about what we could sometimes afford, but to go away just for a weekend. We'd go to San Antonio, you know, go on the Riverwalk, stay at a hotel one night, you know, and just have time to invest in us. So how do we invest in our marriage? Let's just look at that real quick. I think spending quality time is what keeps your relationship alive. We live in such a hectic society, but it's vital that you take times. You take time for just, like I said, the two of you. And in those times, you know, something you need, I think it's so important that, like I said, you invest in your marriage. And I like to look at it like a bank account. You know, daily do something that is an emotional deposit or physical deposit in your relationship. Daily. And you might just think, maybe God's given you an idea right now. Okay, this is something that I know would really bless my husband. And it might be sending a text. Hey, thinking about you. I love you. Can't wait for you to get home. Or, you know, something like that. How are some ways that you can invest? Maybe your husband, you know, his, you know, love language is different. Like I said, I married two different men. I've been married to two different men that had some different personalities. There are some similarities, but different personalities. When Joe and I, my late husband, he was more of an introvert, and he liked, when he got home from work, he liked to just have some downtime, and he'd go out in the yard, and he would, you know, our yard was what I called his man cave. That's what he enjoyed doing. And it was funny, when we were first married, I was like, well, he'd come home from work and he's going out there and doesn't he want to see me? And I would take it personally and I would get upset, you know, and then I would let him have it, you know. And one of the things that I learned was that was really part of his personality. For me, what's a deposit in my emotional bank? I'm more of a people person. I'd much rather go lunch with somebody. You know, when I'm feeling drained or I've, you know, just need an emotional deposit in my bank, you know, you meet with a girlfriend and just chat and have fun, that's a deposit. For him, that was more stressful, you know, to go out and do things. So he was real content when we first got married, just us two being at home all the time. And I was like, oh no, wait a minute, we need to go do this. I mean, I was just more of an extrovert. And then I married Stephen, and he is a very hardworking man, works long hours, but he wants to play as long as he works. And one of the reasons I quit my job was because he wanted, you know, the weekend's coming up, we're going to go hunting, you know, we're going to go fishing, we're going to go this, we're going to go that. And I was like, okay, just a second, let me figure out the rhythm here, you know, how do we do this? But that's what I mean in having to invest. One of the things, my husband has a dove hunting business, and our weekends from September and October, and a lot of those days in between, you know, he was working his regular job, but then he's done the dove business for 30-something years. And if I want to see him on weekends, I ride around in his pickup truck with him, because part of his job, we lease fields from different landowners around the area. But if I want to see him, I take my little computer, got my phone, you know, so I can work. And because we drive from field to field, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to. And you know, he'll stop sometimes and get out and visit. And sometimes I do, you know, too. But sometimes I'm just like real happy in the truck. And it gives me time to get stuff done. But during that season of life, it's important that we stay connected, because things are so busy and there's not a whole lot of time. But that's where I can really learn what's on his heart. That's where I can really learn, and we can have that time, even though life is hectic. So sometimes we as wives have to lay down some things that we might want to do for the sake of our relationship. And there are going to be times in your marriage where you maybe have to give 150%. You may have to give a lot more than your husband's giving. And if that's the case, go to the Lord and ask Him. You know, go to the Lord and talk to the Lord about Him. But one of the things, number one, how do you invest in your marriage? Spend quality time together. Spend quality time together. You know, it was real interesting. Joe and I were teaching, my late husband and I were teaching a class on marriage, and people signed up and then were like assigned to us. And we got one class of people, and we had been married at this point, I don't know, maybe 18 years, 19, yeah, maybe something like that, somewhere in there. Everybody got to the class. We had everybody go around and tell us how long they'd been married. Everybody in that class had been married over 25 years. And it was kind of intimidating, you know, at first when we sat down. But one of the things we discovered is when we said, you know, okay, tell us who you are, how long you've been here, and what you hope to get out. All of those couples were in our class. Their kids had gone to college. All of a sudden, they were looking at each other and saying, I don't know who you are. And they didn't have anything in common. They had gotten and made their lives center around their children. And then here they were. And there are marriages, a lot of marriages that break up. If you center your life around your kids, yeah, you've got things to do. I get it. But if you make it all about the kids and not about the two of you, you're going to look up at when those kids go to college and say, who are you? Where did you come from? And what are we going to do now? You know, it was interesting. When I married Joe and when I was, you know, in those stages of looking for a husband, I was looking for somebody to be a good dad, for somebody to be my partner for life and to raise kids with. When I started dating Stephen, I wasn't looking for somebody to raise kids with. That season of life was over. So I was looking for someone. That's when we weren't going to be sitting on the soccer field together. So that's where I had to do some adapting. And we're going to talk about adapting a little bit next week. But I've learned to hunt, I've learned to fish, and those are things I hadn't learned before. And conversely, he's learned to do things that he's never learned to do before. And so that is the beauty of it. But you've got to make your marriage a priority. The second thing I think that's important in investing in your mate is give your mate precedence over other relationships. And what do I mean by that? I mean, if you're on the phone with your girlfriend and your husband walks in from work, don't continue that conversation for another 20 minutes. Let him know he's the most important thing in your life. And one of the things I've learned to do is, and all my close friends know this, and even if it's somebody that maybe I'm ministering to, you know, or somebody that calls, and I know it's about the time my husband's going to get home, I'll say, I've got 10 minutes. You know, I let them know up front that's how long I've got. But I've tried to make it a point that when he walks in the door, I get off the phone as fast as I can to greet him with a kiss because I want him to know he's the most important person in my life. And that honors, that respects our husbands. Doesn't mean that we don't have outside interests and outside relationships. Another thing that I've tried to do and I learned this one the hard way, is really try to tell him something before I tell somebody else, or it's a public announcement, because he deserves that right. You know, that lets him know he's the most important thing in my life. Is he has precedence over those other relationships. And I think another thing just helps a man feel like he has he's important is when you talk to him, look him in the eye. There's something about how you can communicate your love and look him in the eye. When he is talking to you, you know, how many of you have ever, your husband has ever said, you're not listening to me. You're not listening. And I find that when I stop and when he's saying something, I really have to focus, because it's real easy to think, I need to do this, I need to do this. Oh, I can't, my to-do list, you know. And sometimes life happens and I'll say, just a second, I've got to write this down, or, you know, put it in my phone or whatever. But try to look him in the eye. Let him know that that relationship is the most important thing to you. It helps him feel honored. It helps him feel respected. Another thing that I think is important in investing in marriage is touch and making your physical relationship a priority. It's so easy as busy moms to not have anything left to give at night in the bedroom. And your intimacy is very key to the two of you staying connected and making that a priority. Making your physical relationship a priority is going to help the two of you stay connected. And so there's that emotional, but there's that touch too that I think is so vital. And one of my prayers has been, you know, Lord, teach me to be the lover my husband needs. Teach me to be the lover my husband needs. And I promise you, when you go to the Lord, it's amazing how God will just bring things to, you know, the next time, you know, he's all about it. He invented sex. He invented sex. And he invented that because it's what makes that relationship special. It's what makes it special. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:3-5, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it up to her husband. And in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So make your physical relationship a priority. And ask the Lord to bless that aspect of your marriage. We'll go into that maybe more another time. But the fourth thing that I think is important in investing in your marriage, and these are things you guys can start working on right now, one step at a time. Don't be overwhelmed. You might just say, okay, which one do I need to work on first? But the fourth thing is take time to pray together each day. And I'm not talking about a long prayer. I'm talking about sometimes a minute or two. But take time to pray with your husband. And because there's something that happens, there's a synergy of two people coming together in prayer and going to the Lord. And here's another thing. When you're praying together with your spouse, you're going to learn what's on their heart, you know, what's important to them. And I know sometimes for Stephen and I, when we first got married, I was still working in Kerrville. My parents were real ill, and so we did a lot of back and forth. You know, he'd come to Kerrville, I'd go come here, and we'd go back and forth. But sometimes our prayers were over the phone. In fact, today he was headed out to West Texas. He had to go to West Texas. He left about, you know, 6:30 or 7 this morning, and he called, and you know, so we prayed together over the phone. It wasn't long; it was maybe 2 minutes, you know, but I could hear kind of what was on his heart and things he was, you know, going through. And for me, the same thing. So it doesn't, but just start somewhere. Even if you start with, you know, hey, you know, can we pray together? Can we just come together and go to God? And, you know, you can start with something. Lord, thank you for my husband, and I ask you to bless him today. Amen. You know, you can start. Don't make it complicated. but start somewhere. So, and ask your husband, you know, would you be willing? Could we pray together? And he may not quite be there. He may look at you like you've got four eyes or something, but I promise you that's another way you can invest in your relationship, is taking time to pray. And I know there were times that I know with Joe that we might be in strife. With my late husband, we might have been in strife. We weren't even talking very much, you know. But we did, at that point in our relationship, we had learned the principle of praying together and how it was a good investment. And sometimes all we could pray was, Lord, here we are, and we ask you to help us with this problem. Amen. You know, short, sweet, to the point. Jesus fix it is my favorite prayer. It is, it is. And number five, that in ways to invest in your marriage, I think one of the greatest gifts, and it's good for you, some of you have already heard my teaching on forgiveness, but is to forgive. Marriage will challenge you in the area of forgiveness like no other relationship. And if you're going to keep your marriage alive, your husband might hurt your feelings. He might be insensitive to your needs. He might be doing stuff he's not supposed to. But I promise you, forgiveness is your best friend and will help keep your marriage alive. If you're in a difficult relationship, if you're really kind of struggling right now, I don't know where everybody is in this, but I want to give you Jeremiah 32, verse 39. And this is something that I know when my late husband and I were putting our marriage back together, it was my constant prayer. And Jeremiah 32, 39 says, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them." And so asking the Lord, did you hear that? Isn't that a beautiful scripture? God promises, he said, "I'll give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them." And in the, it says in another version, it says, "I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they may fear me." And that word fear means reverence. "And that it will go well with them and their children after them." And so that's a fabulous promise. That's a place you can start right now praying, is, Lord, give my husband and I one heart and one way for the sake of our kids, for the sake of us, and for the sake of our kids. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that's rich, that shows us the way to go. Thank you that you've given us marriage, the gift of marriage. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for each household represented here, each family, Lord, and for the sake of the kids that you've given to each one of these people listening, Father, I ask that you give them one heart and one way for their sake, for their kids' sake, and for their grandchildren. Father, I ask that you just give these ladies creative ideas in how they can invest in their marriage, how they can study their husband and learn who he is. And Lord, be the helpmeet that he needs. And Father, thank you that as we build and make strong marriages, we make strong families and make strong communities. And let us be a people, Lord, that lets your light shine through our marriage and through our kids and through our love for one another. Bless each marriage here in Jesus' name. Amen.